Proverbs 4, we're going to read the entire chapter. The text this morning will be verse 23. Proverbs 4, this is the word of God. Hear, ye children, the instruction of a father, and attend to no understanding. For I give you good doctrine, forsake ye not my law. For I was my father's son, tender and only beloved in the sight of my mother. He taught me also and said unto me, Let thine heart retain my words, keep my commandments, and live. Get wisdom, get understanding. Forget it not, neither decline from the words of my mouth. Forsake her not, and she shall preserve thee. Love her, and she shall keep thee. Wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore get wisdom, and with all thy getting, get understanding. Exalt her, and she shall promote thee. She shall bring thee to honor when thou dost embrace her. She shall give to thine head an ornament of grace, a crown of glory shall she deliver to thee. Hear, O my son, and receive my sayings, and the years of thy life shall be many. I have taught thee in the way of wisdom. I have led thee in right paths. When thou goest, thy steps shall not be straitened, and when thou runnest, thou shalt not stumble. Take fast hold of instruction. Let her not go. Keep her, for she is thy life. Enter not into the path of the wicked, and go not in the way of the evil men. Avoid it. Pass not by it. Turn from it, and pass away. For they sleep not, except they have done mischief. And their sleep is taken away, unless they cause some to fall. For they eat the bread of wickedness, and drink the wine of violence. But the path of the just is as the shining light, that shineth more and more unto the perfect day. The way of the wicked is as darkness. They know not at what they stumble. My son, attend to my words. Incline thine ear unto my sayings. Let them not depart from thine eyes. Keep them in the midst of thine heart. For they are life unto those that find them, and health to all their flesh. Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Put away from thee a froward mouth, and perverse lips put far from thee. Let thine eyes look right on, and let thine eyelids look straight before thee. Ponder the path of thy feet, and let all thy ways be established. Turn not to the right hand nor to the left. Remove thy foot from evil. We stop our reading there. As I said, the text is verse 23. Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. We began at the last baptism a series out of the book of Proverbs on parenting. We began with a passage later on in the book of Proverbs, 22, verse 6. Which reminded us of our calling to train up a child in the way that he should go. Now we continue that series this morning, and as we do so, we should remember the uniqueness of the book of Proverbs. The focus of the book of Proverbs, or the theme, can be found in one word: wisdom. We read about wisdom in this chapter. The wisdom that is found in the book of Proverbs is not just good common sense wisdom, but the wisdom, in fact, is a person. We know that from Proverbs 8, which speaks of wisdom as a person, and the person of wisdom is Jesus Christ himself, so that what we find in the book of Proverbs is the wisdom of Christ. But there's something else unique about the book of Proverbs, especially the beginning chapters of the book. What you have is inspired parenting, as a parent gives instruction to his son in the way of wisdom. And when I say inspired parenting, I mean inspired by the Holy Spirit himself. Because what you read in the beginning chapters of Proverbs is Solomon sitting down with his son and instructing him. read over and over again in the beginning chapters, my son, my son. We had that in the verses before the text that we consider this morning, verse 20. My son, attend to my words, incline thy ear unto my sayings. Let them not depart from thine eyes. Keep them in the midst of thine heart. Over and over again, Solomon is coming to his son, and he's saying to his son, son, follow in the way of wisdom, not because it's my wisdom, but because it's the wisdom of the Messiah who is coming. So the beauty of the book of Proverbs is that we are allowed to listen in on this inspired parenting as Solomon instructs his son. And thus, there's rich instruction for us in our parenting, how we are to parent, what we are to teach our children as well. You might say we have in the book of Proverbs, Parenting 101 for us as parents. And we'll be looking at some of the things that Solomon teaches his son as we look at different passages in the book of Proverbs. But what we consider this morning in Proverbs 4 is the importance of the fact that our instruction as we give it to our children ought to focus not simply on behavior, but also ought to be directed to their hearts. So easily in our parenting, we are focused on behavior, and especially when our children are young, that's what we focus on, and rightly so. But as they get older, what we ought to see is that we need to instruct their hearts. We're called to do that because the heart is such an important concept in the book of Proverbs. So we have wisdom, we have father teaching his son, but also the importance of the heart is brought out. We read that here in chapter 4. There's a few verses where we see that. In verse 4, he taught me also and said unto me, let thine heart retain my words, keep my commandments and live. Then again in verse 21, let them not depart from thine eyes, keep them in the midst of thine heart. And then verse 23, the text we consider this morning, keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. And that this is a prominent theme in the book of Proverbs, comes out from the fact that that word heart is mentioned here in the book over 80 times. And Jesus picks that up in the New Testament, as we will see in the course of the sermon. But what we're reminded of as parents is that we must teach our children and be focused on their hearts. If we're only focused on behavior, what we do as parents is we, in the end, make good Pharisees. They know the letter of the law. They know what they're supposed to do. They learn to look good on the outside. But in our parenting, we don't just address behavior, but we must also address their hearts, teaching them to live before the face of God, loving the God who has first loved them. So with that in mind, we consider this text under the theme, Parenting That Addresses the Heart. Parenting that addresses the heart. We notice first the meaning of this. Secondly, the reason for it, for out of it, the heart, are the issues of life. And then finally, the manner in which this is done. The first thing we have to look at as we look at this text and see the prominence in the book of Proverbs on the heart is answer the question, what is the heart? When we're talking about the heart, we're not talking about that which can be seen with an ultrasound or an MRI. You will not find this heart somewhere in our bodies. If you have open heart surgery and your chest is broken open and they look at all the insides of you, this is not a heart that you're going to see and be able to find, yet it's just as real as that heart that is pumping in your chest. We're talking here about the spiritual heart with which God has created man and therefore with which God has created each one of us. It's part of who we are. This heart is part of our inner man. It's part of who we are as spiritual beings before God, physical and spiritual. So we can say this about the heart. The spiritual heart is the spiritual center of a man. And four things we notice about that to understand that idea that the heart is the spiritual center of man. First of all, when we talk about the heart, we're talking about that out of which all worship arises. This tells us that man was created in the very beginning to be a worshiping being. And that tells us as well that all men worship. All people worship. Now that's different than saying all people worship God. I'm not saying that. But all people worship. They all worship something. They all worship someone. Either they worship the one true and living God, or they worship an idol that they've made. Either they worship the one true and living God, or in essence, they worship themselves. But when we talk about the heart in us, it's that out of which worship arises. Now, for us as the people of God, we worship the one true and living God here in our worship services, but also we strive to do that in life. But the second thing we take notice of about this heart, first, from out of it proceeds worship. Secondly, Solomon is addressing the heart of a son who is born in the line of the covenant, who is born in the sphere of the covenant, and he addresses his son here, we don't know how old he was, but as one who believes, as one who knows these things. Solomon's very personal here. And so we should see and understand that we have hearts as God's people in which the Holy Spirit dwells. So often we speak of regeneration in this way. That implanted in our heart is the new life of Jesus Christ. So regeneration is connected to our hearts. In regeneration, God works in our hearts. The Holy Spirit works in our hearts. In all those whom he has chosen and all those whom he has redeemed, the Holy Spirit works and implants the new life of Jesus Christ. What that tells us is that without this work, our hearts are dead. Dead in sin, under the dominion of sin. And that's true of those in the world, and that would be true of us apart from God's grace. But God in his grace has worked in our hearts. He's changed our hearts. He's given us a new heart, a heart transplant, so that in it is the life of Jesus Christ. The third thing we want to understand about the heart is that the heart speaks then of our relationship with God. Solomon is addressing what is most important in his life and what ought to be most important in his son's life as well, living to love and serve the one true and living God. Solomon is addressing with his son what is most important when he addresses his heart. And he's saying to his son, son, love Jehovah God. Love him with all your heart and your soul and your mind and your strength. This is how you live in relationship with this God that you know. You see, we often speak of it that way too, don't we? That out of the heart comes love. And that's true of our spiritual hearts as we have the work of the Holy Spirit and we know the love of God. We know that in the depths of our hearts, out of that heart then flows love toward God in response. And so that's what Solomon is addressing here. The love of God. Love God. But the final thing we want to see and understand about the heart is that out of the heart, the child of God thinks and desires and makes decisions. So the idea is whatever is found in the heart influences what we think on, influences what we desire, and influences the very decisions that we make. Everything we do flows out of the heart. And we'll come back to that in the second point especially. But see and understand the point here. When you look at the heart, It's the source of how we live our lives and the very focus of our lives. What we see here in the text more broadly is that Solomon is addressing the heart of his son, setting the example for us that in the instruction that we give to our children, we also must address their hearts. Now, we have to understand that rightly. That does not mean that we can change their hearts. That if we say the right thing, we do the right thing, then we can change the focus and the direction of their lives. That's not our work. That's the work of the Holy Spirit. That's the work of God Himself. That's the work of regeneration, changing hearts. You and I cannot do this. This is not what Solomon's doing here. He's not trying to manipulate his son into changing his life. He's not trying to put all kinds of pressure on him to change his life. No, he sees and understands that God is the one who changes the heart. We don't change hearts as parents. At the very same time, we ought to understand that it's our calling as parents to teach our children to be worshipers of God. If the heart is about worship, then that's the focus of our instruction as well, not just do's and don'ts. But in the end, what we want our children to do is to worship the one true and living God. And so when we address sin in the lives of our children, and when we teach them, when we're having family worship together or other moments, when we're riding in the car together or we're listening to good music together, in those moments, what we focus on is their hearts and their worship of God. So that even in the instruction we give at moments they sin, that's what we're drawing out of them. Who were you worshiping at this moment? Were you worshiping God or were you worshiping yourself? But along with that, we also teach our children about their relationship with God. We're reminded of that as well. As parents, we have the high calling, again, not just do's and don'ts, but to set before our children the glory and the majesty of our great God, the glory and the majesty of His grace, the glory and majesty of His love, the glory and majesty of His covenant, the glory and majesty of what He has done for His people in Jesus Christ, and remind our children of these things and teach them these things. That's where Psalm 78 is so important. The psalmist there is basically saying that. Teach your children, may they learn from the history of the people in the past. Not just the wrong that the people of Israel did and don't repeat it, but see the faithfulness of our covenant God. That's what we must teach our children as well, the faithfulness of our covenant God, and then call them in response to that. Love this God with your heart and your mind and your soul and your strength, because this love of God is shed abroad in your hearts by the Holy Spirit, as we read in Romans 5, verse 5. And then out of that, we teach our children to think and desire and make decisions out of this relationship and out of their love for God. So that when we're teaching them and we instruct them, especially in moments that they sin, we're not just telling them, you did wrong and don't do that again. But as they get older and they learn more and understand more, we're addressing what was going on in their hearts. Why did you do this? What was going on in your heart as you did this, and remind them that they are to serve and worship God and God alone. That's what Solomon is doing here with his son. Addressing his heart, addressing the worship of God, addressing how his son lives before the face of God and the knowledge of the great things that God has done and promised. Now there's specific instruction regarding that heart. So that was general, the heart. Solomon's addressing the heart here. Now what does he say here in the text in verse 23? He says, keep thy heart with all diligence. Literally, the wording there is this, above all things which are guarded, guard your heart. Above all things that are guarded, guard your heart. Think about the things that you guard. You guard your credit card numbers. So if someone asks you to give the credit card number over the phone, or you get these spam emails asking for information about bank accounts or whatever, nope. Not giving it out. Because if you give it out, someone gets it, they clean out your bank accounts. You'll guard your bank account. You'll guard your Social Security number. You'll guard your credit card numbers. You'll guard your wallet. So that maybe you don't even carry it in the back pocket anymore, because you know if you go certain places or pickpockets who can take it, so you get a wallet that goes in the front pocket. You don't keep cash or anything in it. You guard it. We guard our homes. We lock them. We maybe lock our cars in the parking lot, especially if we've left our phone in there or our wallets in there. We lock things. We guard things. The passage is saying, above all things that you guard, guard your heart. Because more important, more precious than your wallet, than your bank accounts, is your heart. And so guard it, protect it. That's what Solomon is saying here to his son. There's urgency to this. And there's urgency because there is one who wants your heart. That one who wants your heart, who wants your worship, who wants your dedication. First of all, is that sin in you, but also the evil one himself. And so Solomon says, guard, guard, guard your heart. This is the instruction that we also as parents must give to our children when addressing their hearts. Like you guard other things, what's more important is that you guard your heart. And what that means is we talk to our children is we tell them what's so important is that you don't allow into your hearts things that ought not to be there. See, the idea is that things do come into our hearts and have an influence upon our hearts. It's the things that come in through our ears. It's the things that come in through our eyes. They go through our minds, and then they go down into our hearts. And then what happens is as we those things live in our hearts, they come out of us in the things that we do. And so Solomon is saying here to his son, son, guard and protect what comes down into your heart, what comes in through your ears, what comes in through your eyes. And that's the connection with the verses that go before. When he warns of all the wickedness of this world. And now Solomon brings it to a head and brings it to a conclusion and says, now keep your heart, guard your heart, protect your heart from all of these things. Close the door and lock it and don't allow these things in. That's what we're going to teach our children. And we're going to help them with that too. And that's why we're going to say to them, there's music. Don't listen to that. And here's why you need to guard and protect your hearts. That country music, that hip-hop, whatever it is out there, guard and protect your hearts because it's going to influence you. That's why at home you're going to say, if you have a television, there are certain things that are not going to be on our television. And maybe you're going to even set up parental control so that those things aren't there on the television. When it comes to the internet, you're going to help them guard and protect their hearts and say to them, there's certain things you're not going to look at online, and we're going to try to protect you, and we're going to have software on your phones and on all of your screens because we know how important this is. You take that in, it's going to affect your hearts. What we have here is Solomon coming alongside of his son, giving instruction to his son and saying, son, guard and keep your hearts from the things of this world. And so also we as parents do the same with our children. Guard and protect your hearts from all the wickedness and lies of this world. That's the specific instruction that we find here in this text. Now there's a reason for it. The reason is found in the text. in the word that follows that first main part, for, so that indicates reason, for, this is why, out of it are the issues of life. So this goes back to that point we made about the heart, that the heart is the source of all that we do. The heart is the wellspring of our lives. And that's the idea that comes in that word issue. That word issue has the idea of fountain or source of water. And then we're reminded of the figure that Jesus uses in the New Testament. Out of a good fountain flows good water. Out of a bad fountain flows bad water. Or the other figure he uses, out of a good tree comes good fruit. From a bad tree comes bad fruit. And that's the idea here as well. Out of the heart are the issues of life. And where there's a heart that's under the dominion of sin, totally depraved, and a heart in which God has not worked, that kind of heart can only produce bad fruit. But out of a heart that's changed, there is good fruit that is produced because of that wonder work of regeneration, but that does not mean that we, as regenerated children of God, only produce good fruit. Now, there's still bad fruit, because there is still sin in our hearts. But what we want to see and understand here is that what is seen in our lives originates in our hearts. This is why Solomon addresses the heart of his son, and why we in our parenting must address the hearts of our children as well. It's not just about behavior. It's about their hearts. We want children who love God, who worship God, who are dedicated to serving Him in their lives. Not only does Solomon bring this out here in Proverbs 4, but Jesus gives instruction about this in the New Testament, which we ought to take notice of at least in a couple of passages. The first one is in Luke chapter 6. Luke 6, verse 45. Luke 6, verse 45. So in verse 43, Jesus brings out what I brought out to you a few moments ago. For a good tree bringeth not forth corrupt fruit, neither doth a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. And then the next verse he says, for every tree is known by his own fruit. And then verse 45 of Luke 6, a good man out of the good treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is good. And an evil man out of the evil treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is evil. For of the abundance of the heart his mouth speaketh. So whatever is in your heart is in the end what's going to come out, and especially what's going to come out of your mouth. Just like, and I think I've used the figure before, if you have a water bottle that can be squeezed, and you squeeze it and the lid is off, whatever's on the inside will come out. And that's the idea here too. Whatever's on the inside will come out, especially when we are pressed and squeezed. The other passage that we want to look at is Mark chapter 7. Because there in Mark chapter 7, Jesus especially speaks of the sin that comes out of a sinful heart. Mark 7, verses 20 through 23. And he said, that's Jesus, that which cometh out of the man, that defileth the man. For from within, out of the heart of men, proceed evil thoughts, adulteries, fornications, murders, thefts, covetousness, wickedness, deceit, lasciviousness, an evil eye, blasphemy, pride, foolishness. All these evil things come from within and defile the man. Although Jesus doesn't use the word heart there, that's certainly the idea. Evil that comes out of man originates in the heart. It tells us that sin that we commit and sin our children commit is not simply a mistake. It's not simply a bad choice or decision. but that which we do outwardly reflects what is found in our hearts. So that at the very moment that we sin, and when we sin a particular sin, it's revealing, it's exposing what is found in our hearts. That's true for every one of us. So that when we sin, we should look deeper than just the outward behavior. Yes, the behavior was wrong, but why was I focused on this? And often we would say, well, it might be pride, it might be selfishness, but how was that shown or manifest in that time so that I don't repeat that and continue in that? That's what we help our children with as parents. There are always reasons that we do what we do. We do what we do because we want what we want. And when we sin, we're doing something sinful because our hearts are focused on the wrong thing. When we sin, we're never focused on God and His glory. Instead, what I want and the idols that are found in my own heart. So the text is teaching us that in our parenting, we must address not only the external but the internal. We must address the behavior and the heart. As I said earlier, when our children are very young, it's behavior. We focus on that. They're not able to understand the heart instruction yet. No means no. And when mom says no, she means it. She doesn't mean it the third time, she means it the first time. When dad means no, he means it. And we need to teach our children that when they are young. But as they get older and they understand more, that's when we address their hearts and what it is that they are focused on. And when we see their sins, we not only point out their bad behavior, but then, hey, let's take a look at this. What was going on? What did you want at that time? Think of two children fighting over a toy. And sometimes we say, who had it first? But again, understand there's no biblical principle that says, well, whoever had the toy first gets it. The biblical principle is love. Love. And you didn't want to give up that toy because you were being selfish. You wanted it for yourself. But how better it would be if you said, even if it's yours, when you're finished playing with it, may I? And then to be happy that someone else can enjoy the toy that you desire. And we can kind of smile about that, and yeah, what child's going to say that? But as our children get older, that's what we want. We want them to so worship God that they're willing to give up anything in love for someone else, because that's what God calls us to do, to love Him and love God by loving our neighbor. So these are the things that we must address with our children. If we don't, it's like taking a car that's full of rust and painting it without dealing with the rust that's underneath. Because what's going to happen? Well, it'll cover it up for a little while, but you go through another winter and it's all out and it's grown. Or it's like pulling a weed by only taking the leaves off and not pulling up the roots. And so in our parenting, what we want to get at in the lives of our children are the roots of their sin. So we want to understand what this looks like in the lives of our children. And what that means then is that when they do walk in sin, we are addressing these things because what they do flows out of their hearts. And to remind them daily that they are to worship and serve God. Think about how that works out if they fight with their brother or sister over a toy, as I mentioned earlier, or if they lie. Sometimes their children get caught in lies. So why did you lie? Well, usually our children lie. They probably don't know the answer to that. But with some questions, they can figure it out. Were you afraid that if I found out that I would do something? Yeah. Well, you lied to protect yourself. And does God say that you can lie then to protect yourself? No. God says, speak the truth. And then we can assure them, if you tell me the truth, even when you do something wrong, I'll be gracious, I'll be merciful, I want you to speak the truth. These are the way that we address these things with our children Because the goal of our parenting is that our children repent and love and serve God. Secondly, we understand that guarding their hearts is necessary because the sin then that is found in their hearts. The book of Proverbs speaks of that often, that folly is bound up in the hearts of our children. And here's why. Jeremiah 17, verse 9 says this: "The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it?" The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? And the answer that Jeremiah comes to after that is God. He knows the heart, and he can expose the deceitfulness of the heart and the sin that is found in our hearts. Now, of course, that points us to the depravity of man. All men are under that bondage of sin in their hearts. But what we see and understand is that even though we, as the people of God, have the new life of Christ within us and our children as well, we believe in the line of generations, that still we have this deceitfulness in our hearts and this sin in our hearts because we have that old man of sin. Baptism reminds us of that this morning. We believe that our children are conceived and born in sin. It was part of the first question of the baptism form. They have sin in them. And not just sinful behavior, but folly that is found in their hearts. And we want them to be delivered from that folly and that deceit that is found in their hearts. And so we desire that God would use us as instruments to expose that folly and that sin that is found in their hearts. All these evil things come from within and defile a man, we read in Mark 7. And we and our children are not immune to these things. In fact, the danger is that the way of sin becomes deeply ingrained at a very young age, whether it's lying or even sexual sin. Satan wants our children enslaved to these sins. And so that's why we instruct our children with an aim at their hearts in all that they do. So this is the why. The why we train them, instruct them with a goal of their hearts. It is because of their sin, and because of what the heart is, out of it are the issues of life. Now, how do we do that? How do we do that? That's the manner. Well, first of all, we notice that we do it with prayer and the Word of God. Again, you and I cannot change hearts. So we do this with prayer and the Word of God. We do this understanding and knowing the power of the Word of God. We read of that power of the Word of God in Hebrews chapter 4. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12. "For the word of God is quick, living, and powerful, and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart." The word is that which can penetrate into the hearts of our children, just like it's the word that can and does penetrate into our hearts as parents. Parents, we believe in the power of the word, don't we? Let's use it. Bring the word of God to our children. Set that before them. Set before our children not just what God says about how we live, but what the word says about who he is and what he has done. And understand that your yelling, your anger, your bribes, they cannot change the heart. But the Word of God can. And the Word of God does. So bring the Word of God to them. Do that in family worship. Do that when they disobey. Bring the Word of God, not as a club, but instead as instruction, gentle instruction, father to his son. Bring the word, mothers to their sons and daughters. And along with that teaching of the Word of God, pray for them and pray with them. Let's not forget that either. Pray for our children and pray with them, that God would guard their hearts, that He would touch their hearts, that He would move their hearts, that He would deliver them from sin, that He would work in them so that they would love God with all of their being. So bring the Word and pray. And then finally, protect them from the influences of this world. We cannot, on the one hand, instruct our children to guard their hearts and then allow all of the world into our homes. But instead, we must guard them and protect them from all that is found in this world. In our day, it's almost looked down upon to shelter your children. No, that's exactly what we're called to do as parents. To shelter our children from the wickedness and the sin of this world. To be a shield and a protection for them. And thus to say to them, you're not on your own. You don't have the right to privacy when it comes to your phone. Because you don't have that right before God. He knows everything. Now He's put me as your parent to teach you and instruct you and to guard you and protect you from evil and sin. And so I'm going to check. I'm going to look. I'm going to keep in reminding you, guard and protect your heart from evil and sin. And use the tools that are given in this world as well to protect from all the things on the internet and the television programs as well and their ability to download things. But it's not just guard and protect. But at the same time, we remind them, and we do it ourselves, fill our minds with the things that are lovely and good and right, as we're reminded of in Philippians 4, verse 8. So we're going to fill our homes with good music. We're going to fill our homes with those things that are edifying, with reading material, that is, and point those things out to our children and have our children read those things as well and discuss the things of the kingdom of God and discuss the Word of God and meditate upon these things so that God's Word is hid in their hearts and in our hearts. And that leads into the very Word of God that Reverend Slopsom is going to bring to us tonight. Providentially, it'll be interesting to see how those two things fit together, but that whole concept of hiding God's Word in our hearts is what he's going to preach on this evening, and he and I did not plan that or talk about that ahead of time. But it's a reminder to us, this is how we teach our children and speak to their hearts with the Word of God. May God give us strength. Amen. Let us pray. Father in heaven, we're thankful for the high calling that we have as parents to teach and instruct our children in the ways that they are to go, not just in behavior, but also toward their hearts. Grant us strength, Father, to speak to our children about their love for Thee and their desire to serve Thee in their lives also. And may it be manifest that we as parents love the Lord and seek to serve Him in our lives as well. So, Father, bless the instruction we give as parents and use us in spite of all of our weakness and sin. And we pray that another generation would grow up to love Thee and to love the Lord Jesus Christ, and that they would walk according to Thy Word in that love and that desire to worship. Bless our fellowship in this morning as well. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. Sing Psalter number 393. Notice stanza 1. O happy land whose sons and youth and sturdy strength and noble truth like plants in vigor spring, whose daughters fair a queenly race are like the cornerstones that grace the palace of a king. That's what we want for our children. Children that are beautiful spiritually before God. Let's sing stanzas 1 and 3. We'll omit stanza 2. 1 and 3 of 393.